my debut 1990 September, Bristol City away, to get that opportunity with what thousands of Geordies only dream of.
Lee Clark, 1-0.
Williams.
My first goal for Sunderland away at Leicester. It was a left foot volley. I didn't realise my left foot was for kicking the ball with it as well. I thought it was just for standard.
Hignett.
Playing against Chelsea and to score the first goal there is something that still lives with me now, and it's what most people will talk to me about.
Hignett with the ball. Ron Hignett, you beauty! You Scouser Teesside beauty!
Worshipped every weekend. It's the three legends. Banter and rivalry across the North East on the Toon, the Cat, the Red.
And the all-important number, of course, to be part of the three legends with the boys is 033 or 043 2002. You can send your WhatsApp messages in on that number. You can call that number on WhatsApp. You can call it on your normal phone, 033 or 043 2002. And we are on Facebook Live as well. On the Red today, we will be bringing you Facebook Live right across the North East as of next week. Boys, what a week it's been.
Has it?
I think everyone put
the mockers
on Newcastle, didn't they?
Some predictions we had, didn't we? All three of them lost.
Shocking.
I tell you, mate, honestly, we're going to have to go for all three losses.
Well, we're going to have to do something. I read the stats, Daz, on your game. Millwall had two shots, none on target, mate, and win 1-0.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, mate. Story of the season.
What was that chant in the 80s and 90s? Sack the board.
not like you Clarky, to throw a hand grenade in the middle.
Now, well, I mean us, not any board of the club.
All right,
we're
okay.
The board this week. Okay. I meant we should have been sacked by our predictions.
We're too reliable, that's what it is. We're too reliable.
Yeah, we are.
Where are you starting?
Yeah, we'll start at Newcastle, because we don't often start at Newcastle, do we? But Clarkie, I watched Crystal Palace against Liverpool and they were good. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Liverpool missed all kinds of chances. But Palace were decent. You know, yeah, when you're on the break and they've got pace on both flanks and a big strong lad up front in Mateta. And he obviously caused problems, didn't he?
Yeah, he was terrific, Higgy. To be fair, the result fully deserved to Palace. They were excellent on the night. And as you said, Mateta, really good, powerful. Newcastle, it wasn't as bad as the first half down at Fulham when they eventually won 1-0, but it was close to it. But they couldn't recover like they did at Fulham. Palace just had too much pace, power, trickery. And it was a disappointing nightmare, and especially with the result that Man United got, coming back twice to overpower Sheffield United eventually. So, big game tomorrow, mate. Sheffield United at home, obviously expected to win. If we beat them, I think that's them down, I think, mathematically. So especially with, I think, Man United home to Burnley as well. So, because we're 3 points behind them now, and plus we've got to go there as well. So, you know, that could be the European decider as well at Old Trafford.
Yeah, well, you've got two decent ones coming up, haven't you? I mean, Sheffield United, who you'd expect them to win comfortably, and then Burnley. Burnley have had a little bit of a kick on, haven't they, at the end of the season? I don't think that's going to be a formality, but you would expect Newcastle to beat them as well, and then it's all on that game, like you say, isn't it?
Well, the problem is, Higgy, you would expect Newcastle to beat Burnley, but where we're form has been where Achilles' heel this season, to be honest. You know, we've had a couple of little setbacks at home, don't get us wrong, with things, but you know, on the whole, well, home form's been good again. Not as excellent as it was last year, but well, away form's nowhere near like what it was last season, and that's been a big factor for us. So,
what do you put that down to, Clarkie?
The
injuries.
Well, possibly. Don't want to keep using that as an excuse, so as well, because we know we've talked about it over the weeks, haven't we? Lots of clubs are picking up injuries now. I mean, we have had a ridiculous number, but when I look over the piece, when you look at a lot of the clubs now, they are getting huge amount of injuries across their squads. Newcastle's was never big enough in any way for the competitions that were in at the start, but I just think as well that the press and the energy, the intensity they played with last year wasn't there, and it hasn't been there in a lot of the away games. You know, maybe it's that to try and find a plan B. I mean, Eddie done it great against Spurs at home, played three centre backs. He tried it again at Palace and it didn't have the same effect. So, you know, maybe he's just trying to tweak little things here and there to try and get the results. So, but as I said, great, you know, couldn't ask for a better game. If you need a game after a disappointing result and performance, with no disrespect to Sheffield United, you'd pick them at home, you know. So, got to go for it.
I mean, they give Man U a bit of a runder the other night, though, a little bit.
No, they did. Oh, listen.
They play with the shackles off. Everyone gives Man U a run, Daz, don't they?
I know. No, Daz, you're right. I think Sheffield United look like they're playing with the shackles off a little bit. Some of their players look a little bit more confident, you know. Yeah. They probably know they know what's going to happen to them. They can try and enjoy the last few games in the Premier League. I'm not sure how many of them will attract Premier League clubs when they go down, if any of them. So they might think, well, unless we get the club straight back up, it might be a while before we're back at this level. So let's enjoy, you know, going to St. James's Park, playing in these games. So that could be a little bit of the proverbial banana skin for Newcastle. But, I mean, you would expect if we can reproduce what we did against Spurs, that we'll have more than enough to get the 3 points. And then, as I said, you know, it could come down to the Man United game.
We are coming to the silly season, though, aren't we? Of results where
we are absolutely
crazy. So, I mean, you look at the Everton Liverpool game. That's just a nuts result. But we are getting to that stage now. Teams aren't. Yeah. Well, teams aren't.
Arsenal, Leicester.
I can't believe Arsenal. Do you know what I mean? They're just getting stronger. And the goals that they've scored are unbelievable. To me, them and City. I mean, City were incredible against Brighton. Don't get me wrong. Phil Foden is just on fire at the moment, but apart from those two, all the other teams, you can see they're out on the feet, you know. Clark, you've just mentioned it there about the press. Liverpool's the same. They've only won one in the last four. That's not going to win you a league title. It's them, but City and Arsenal, unbelievable.
Higgy, do you know what the scary thing about it is, though? I sat down and watched that game last night. I half expected that performance and result from City, because that's what you expect from them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's silly, really. You shouldn't be expecting a team to go to a good Premier League club like Brighton and just blow them away 4-0 and score and play some unbelievable football. But City are that good. They're that used to dealing with the business end of the season as well. Yeah. All the players have got massive experience. You just expect that of them. And as you said, the Arsenal players, they are young, but you can see the confidence they're playing with. And when they're on top of that game, some of them youngsters, that absolutely top draw. So I think it is a two-horse race now. But I cannot see beyond City just because if any team can go, when they need to, just go win, 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 not even draw, it's them, you know?
Yeah, it is. I can't see them losing between now and the end of the season. But to be fair, I can't see Arsenal either.
No.
I can't. But I think the thing with
it's a big test this weekend, isn't it? It's the big one this weekend. Oh, Tottenham away, isn't it?
Massive. Yeah, they've got Tottenham,
massive, aye.
Yeah.
So, I think with Arsenal, they keep clean sheet as well as scoring plenty of goals, don't they? That's the thing.
They do, Dad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
They look more solid. Arsenal look so much better this year than they did last year, where they went close but failed at the end. But I just think Tottenham are one of them teams, though, Clarkie. If Arsenal score the first goal, it could be anything again, couldn't it? You know, we've seen it against Newcastle, how open they are and how high they play. If you play that high against this Arsenal side, they've got so much pace. You know, Martinelli, Saka, whoever's there, Trossard, they're all quick. And if you play with a high line, they could do you and do you by a few.
Definitely. Well, our remaining fixtures after tomorrow, we've got Burnley away, Brighton at home, Man United away, then Brentford away, so...
It's not a bad running, is it? You know, to get to Europe. It's not bad. There could have been worse games in there.
But the other big worry is it's reared its ugly head again. Is this speculation about Gyökeres saying that he has a release clause in his contract for $100 million between the 1st of June and the 1st of July, and they reckon Arsenal and Man City, which I've got no doubt there will be. He's a top class player. He would enhance both their squads. Any of the clubs in the Premier League, I'd even go as far to say this, the European big boys as well. So that's reared its ugly head again. It doesn't seem to be going away. So,
do you know what's interesting with that, Clarkie? You know, Newcastle at the time were interested in Calvin Phillips, and you did wonder whether Calvin Phillips would be used as a bit of a make weight to get Bruno over there, whether it's, you know, 90 million plus Calvin Phillips, or whether it's they're trying to do a better deal where it's 50 million plus him. But with his stock now and what he's done at City and West Ham, I don't think that'll come into play at all.
Not at all. I think he's lost a lot of suitors in terms of how he's came from not playing a lot of games, how he's looked, his performances when he has played for City, but also his loan spell at West Ham. I think the move for him will be a one from emotional one. Yeah, I think it'll be a Leeds United one, possibly with a loan with a view to a permanent to see if he can get back to the levels that he was at, you know.
Do you think it's just games with him, Clarky?
I think it's got to be, Higgy. He was a top player. You know, when he was at Leeds, different class, and when he was playing for England, he was doing well. And then, obviously, just shows you, if you sit off on the bench, doesn't matter what club you're at, if you're at a big club, and I'm in a big club, you've got to bide your time. But you spend a lot of time without playing, it can affect your rhythm, because he just looks completely out of sorts, you know.
Can either of you two see him getting back to what he was?
I think he can if he gets a run of games, and that's why I'm saying probably the Leeds United one, being his club, they'll love him there, they'll give him a bit of time, they know what he's about, he'll probably love going back there if it was to happen. I think if there's one club that can get him back to the level, that would be it, you know, and that would be the move that would probably excite him, I think.
What about you, Daz? Do you think he will?
Definitely agree. I think I agree with Clark. I think he's got a chance, mate. But you know, he needs that constant run of games, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? Where you know he's in and you know, and he's getting somewhere near, you know, the minutes on the pitch to get him back up there.
So do you think the Newcastle thing's a no-no now? Even though I think we all think he's, you know, if he gets a run of games, he can find that form again.
I think it's too much of a risk for Newcastle, mate. For them to lose their top player Gimenez to bring Phillips in. And if he doesn't hit the ground running, I think the manager will feel a little bit under pressure in terms of if he's decided on that deal. It's a big one.
Would you take 100 million and Phillips? So it's like you're getting it for nothing, isn't it? I know
you're
the wages
are
going to
be getting it for nothing.
Yeah,
I mean, to be honest with you, Higgy, Newcastle do need that actually defensive midfield player. Not, you know, they can all do it. Longstaff got a great work ethic, Bruno has, young Lewis Smiley, Joe Linton, but the one who his specific trade is being a defensive midfield player, Newcastle could do with that type of player, especially when they're playing at home sometimes and they're pressing high and they're pressing in numbers. They just need that little bit of security net in front of the two centre backs, so you know, that specialist position Newcastle could do with. So I think if a Calvin Phillips, if we can get him back to anywhere near his level and get 100 million that you can use on the squad, it'd be something that could be thought about by Eddie and his staff, I've got no doubt.
Well, it'll be an interesting one to see, won't it?
It will be. But we spoke about it, haven't we, a few weeks ago about players having to realise that just sitting on the bench, no matter if you had a big club, the longer you sit, that you know, you lose your rhythm, takes you a while to get back. The Premier League's a difficult league to start with, but if you haven't played in it for a few weeks or months, to get up to the speed and rhythm of these players, the speed the game's at, it takes a while, so you just got to be ready for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get on to Borough, because the bubble burst, which we thought it might against Leeds.
It burst in fashion, didn't it? Jesus.
And do you know what? The offside goal's a joke for me. You know, Nonto's goal.
Yeah.
The assistant 100%. Referee hasn't seen that, because it's not even close, really. You know, close is what we see VAR, isn't it? He was a full body off. And if you're not up with playing, can't see that. There was three of them, actually, that were offside, but Nonto was the most prominent, and I don't believe that this, you know, there's a bit of an argument going about. I don't know whether it's, you know, the assistant referee's sight was obscured by the bodies. Well, that shouldn't be the case, should it? He should be in a decent position, because he's had enough time to get right at the back of that line and see it all. For me, that's one of the easiest offside decisions you can give. And there's a case for another one being offside as well. Was it the second one being offside? Because there was a couple, but I thought Borough were terrific in the game. You know, after I just thought they had a right good go. I mean, the two games against Leeds this season have been really exciting. both of them, and they've been really good football to watch. And Borough, for me, have give the fans at the end of the season something to look forward to, and that's all you could ask, really, of them. And our mate Latty Lath, well, he must be worth 20 million now, Daz. I think Sunderland have been blown out of the water trying to get him now.
We're not going any higher, mate. I've told you.
He is on fire.
Ramirez, mate, we've pulled out of that because it's gone to 100. We're 90 million. We're happy with that.
Daz, what you've offered to... What you've offered two balloons and a goldfish.
Rob, the key to the city, mate.
But listen, Latty Lath, you've got to give him credit. He's absolutely flying. Aye. I think he's got, is it 9 in 10 games now he's scored?
I think something like that, mate, yeah.
And he's missed so much football as well during the season. But if he can produce that sort of form from the off next season, there's your goal scorer. You don't have to worry in the summer, do you? But I'd still go and get another goal scorer because he's only done it for this period, if you like. But he looks a different player. He looks full of confidence. He's always been willing and always wanted to run in behind and look. He is quick and he's sharp and he's a bit all over the place. A little bit like Nunes, I suppose. You know, Captain Chaos, where he's everywhere and he puts you under pressure and he never gives you a minute, but he scores all types of goals. Yeah. You know, he scores the scruffy ones, he scores headers. Yeah, he scores goals from outside the box. And I just hope that, you know, he has a good pre-season and then he can start the season next year like he's finished it this season, because that'll solve a lot of problems for Borough. We've gone on all season, Daz, us and Sunderland as well, about needing a goal scorer and needing someone, because all the top clubs and all the clubs who are up there, they've got a goal scorer, and we've struggled with that this season. But listen, this fella, the way he's finished the season, I think he's got about 16-17 goals for the whole of the season, and he's missed a massive chunk of it, so that gives you a little bit of hope, doesn't it, going into the summer? And I still think Borough are probably 4 or 5 short, and they will have a big summer, and I know they've come out and said they want to get their stuff done early, but I don't think that's possible. You know, I don't think you can get your stuff done early unless you're going to pay the big bucks.
Yeah, you've got to do that, definitely.
Yeah, you've got it if you want it early. If you don't, the players who are in demand are just going to sit on it, aren't they, and wait to see who comes in and how much. And
who comes in.
Try and make a bit of a bidding war. So I think, you know, with all the best will in the world, and Borough won't be the only ones in for the players, unless they're obscure ones from abroad that people haven't scouted, but that very rarely happens.
You've got to pay silly money, haven't you? Do you know what I mean? It's because,
well, if you're going to get them early, nowadays, you have, Daz.
This is it, mate. They sit about the weight, the money keeps creeping up, and the closer you get to it closing, mate, the worse it gets. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously,
well, the last thing you want to do
for a striker
is getting a bidding war, isn't it? Where you've got two or three clubs all coming in saying, oh, how much have they offered you? Oh, we'll give you this. And then someone else says, well, we'll give you this. And then before you know it, it becomes stupid. And you waste your time doing that when you know it's not going to happen, and you might miss out on something else over there. So they have to be really smart with what they do and a bit cute with it. You know, hopefully Kieran Scott, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's... But he's got a tough job in the summer. You know, if he wants it done early, I think it'll be a real tough one to get it done early.
Going back to the game, Higgy, I watched obviously the match on the TV and I thought, unbelievable advert for the Championship. Got to say, I thought it was a brilliant game, really, for the neutral like yourself watching it. Two teams going for it. You know, but like you said, and like we said over the previous weeks, that Borough don't look out of... You know, that company, they look like they can compete with them teams. And I think you're right, a few tweaks here and there, keep the striker, Latty Lath, and then maybe he's had another one who can get into double figures for goals as well to give him a bit of a hand, and they could have an opportunity, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that. I don't think they're a million. I do think they're 4 or 5 away, Clark. You don't get me wrong. I don't want to be lulled into a false sense of security where they've had a decent run till the end of the season. We think this squad's going to be good enough with a couple added to it, because I don't think that's the case. I do think they need 4 or 5. They need a right back, whether that's Luke Ayling or not. We'll have to wait and see. Again, strikers, central midfield players, you know, they need a creative one. We'll have to wait and see what happens with the other lads in the summer. But you know, they're not a million miles away, and I think Michael Carrick's done really well at the end of the season. And like I keep saying, he will be judged on what happens next season. They'll give him a free pass this season because of what happened in the summer and the goals he lost. And we've been on about that, but he's got them into some sort of form, because I think the jury was on the wobble halfway through the season when they were having a tough time. But I think this little run of form and these, you know, 9 games, 10 games have turned people around again and give them a little bit of hope and excitement that next season will be a good season. I can see them having a decent season. I think it'll be tough, because if you look at the teams that'll come down next season, I think they'll be strong straight away from the off without adding anyone. But there's nothing to say they can't make the playoffs.
Look at Ipswich.
I think the playoffs will be there. Well, exactly, Dave. Yeah. I mean, Portsmouth are a big club. You know, Portsmouth are going to come into that league. Whether they've got the money, you know, I don't know, but it's a big club coming up as well. So I'd like to say that next season, I would be disappointed if they weren't, you know, there or thereabouts with the playoffs. Okay. You could argue that they're there or thereabouts this season, but they haven't been really, have they? They've always been just out.
Too inconsistent, isn't it?
Yeah, they've always been just out of reach. You know, when they get 6 points behind and they were on that run, people got a little bit of hope, but it was never going to happen because the teams, you know, West Brom were on a decent run, weren't they? Norwich at the time were on a decent run.
Yeah. But there was too many ifs and buts, wasn't there, for that?
Yeah, there was too many things that for it. But what it has done is give everyone a bit of belief and a bit of hope, and a bit of enthusiasm for the next season. And, you know, everyone will be looking at the summer and hoping that they can bring in the right players, because it's, you know it yourselves, lads, it's all about recruitment, isn't it? Recruitment is the biggest part of a football club, and, you know, as far as the manager's concerned, if he's got something to do with it or not, that's the be all and end all for him, because, you know, you can only work with what you've got.
I've got a question to ask you about the Borough, but we're just going to take a quick break. I'll ask that of the lads, Lee Clark, Craig Hignett, Darren Williams, on the three legends across the northeast on the Cat, the Red and the Tuna. We'll ask it next.
It's the three legends across the northeast. Clark, legend. Williams, legend. Hignett, legend. WhatsApp us, call or send a voice message. Banter at its best. 033-00-43-2002.
Right across the northeast, the Tuna Cat and the Red.
Fellas, the question I was going to ask just before we took the break is, you were talking Latte-Lath and you were saying, you know, what a season he's had, considering it's not a complete season. If he's coming to the end of the season like this, will it attract the attention of other clubs who might want to take him away and then really, you know, spoil Michael Carrick's plans?
Without a doubt. Everyone wants a goal scorer at every level of the game. You know, and he'll be, when clubs start looking in the summer, you know, it doesn't matter what type of season they've had, they'll always go, right, I need another striker, I need another goal scorer, and they'll go through the lists and they'll look at the Premier League and look at the leagues through Europe, and then they'll go into the Championship, because, you know, it's classed as one of the toughest leagues in the world, and if someone's been a consistent goal scorer at that level, you know, he's going to be on the radar without a doubt, and that's the issue you've got as well. But you'd like to think he might repair, because he's obviously had a stop-start season with his injuries. He'd like to repair Middlesbrough and try and get a good pre-season under his belt and fly through the season and help them get promoted himself. Because I wouldn't have thought he'd go to another Championship club, I've got to say, because I don't think, you know, I don't think there's many better than Bury if they get the right squad together. You know, we've talked about before, the fans, the stadium, the training facility, etc. Nothing better. So, that, you know, I think there will be people who want him, but I'd like to think he could stay.
I don't think there'll be people in any clubs that are better than Borough wanting him because of the season. Because it's been stop start, it's been injury hit. It's his first season. I think people will wait. You know, unless someone wants to make a cheeky bid and try and get him a bit cheaper. Obviously, if you wait and he does the same again next year, his price is going to go up, isn't it? So maybe someone takes a gamble. I doubt it. But I can see them watching him next season, start the season, and if he does the same again, then I think there will be suitors in January for him. And then, you know, it depends what contract he's got. I mean, I don't know what contract he's on or how long he signed.
Well, you know how the transfer windows are working as well, Higgy. You start the season and the summer window is still open till the end of August. So if he starts the season flying, someone might come in with a bid come the end of that summer window, mightn't they? They might wait, like you say. They might think, was that a one-off or can he continue it? And if he does, if he hits the ground running, they might go, all right, and before the window closes in August, let's get this one over the line.
Yeah. I mean, it's a gamble for someone if they do it in the summer. And like I say, I can't see any clubs with a status like Borough's coming in and wanting him because they'll have to pay. You know, he'll have a couple of years, I would imagine, left on his contract because it's his first year. So they're going to have to pay some money, and Borough aren't going to let him go for peanuts. Yeah. So
yeah.
I just think Borough have got all the, you know, in a world where normally it's player power, I think at this moment in time, Borough hold all the aces as far as Lattie Lass concerned, which is a good thing because, like you say, everyone's a goal scorer. I'd be devastated to lose him because of what he's done since he's come back. You know, he's been on a terrific run. I want to see that next year. It happened with Tuba, didn't it? Tuba had one good season where he scored 30-odd goals, and it was the one season he had at Borough. Most he'd ever scored by a long, long way, and he ended up getting a move to Ajax on the back of it. You know, could the same happen with Lattie Lass? Probably. And he's younger, I think, than Tuba, a lot younger. So there's certainly value in it for Borough if he does have another good season. They've already lost Rodgers, and Rodgers is doing really well, by the way, at Aston Villa, and now people are asking questions about, well, did we sell him too cheap at 15 million with the add-ons or 15 million?
Well, you probably would say yes in today's market, wouldn't you, after watching him for Villa?
Yeah, but the way I look at it, they signed him for £1 million and less than a year later, it's
still
great, 15
still
million
brilliant
back,
business,
you know
what I mean? Still brilliant,
it's fabulous business. And you're never going to, if you're a Championship club, you're never going to hold on to a player once a Premier League club comes in.
No.
It's not going to happen. If he doesn't go and you don't let him go, there'll be a problem because he's going to feel let down.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people sign with the proviso that if a Premier League club comes in and we're still in the Championship, then obviously, you know, as long as the money's right, I'd want to go. Mm-hmm. And that's just players wanting to play at the highest level. If Borough get there, then that's a different story. But I can't see how Borough can keep players if there's Premier League interest. I just think it'll be impossible. Not impossible to keep them, but impossible to keep them and keep them happy. That's the big thing for me. You know, you want players happy. And if you haven't got a happy squad and a squad who are all together, then you're fighting a losing battle. All the best teams and all the teams who do well have got a really good team spirit. There's not one that hasn't.
Definitely.
What are you thinking of the game tomorrow, Higgy? Do you think he's going to experiment maybe and have a look at one or two players, a couple of young lads possibly? Or do you think he's going to try and finish the season with a couple of positive results? To keep, like you said,
I think you'll want to carry that on.
Place.
I mean, young AJ Matthews come on the other day for his debut. You know, remember Lee Matthews, who was a good player, Lee.
He played all right as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He did well when he
came on, which is great. And it's always nice to see local kids come on, isn't it, and get given a chance.
Absolutely, definitely.
But I just think he'll want to finish the season well. He'll want to finish as close to the playoff spots as he can. And like I say, that there is a really good feel-good factor around the place at the minute. Despite, I think it's been a challenging season at times. But, like I say, this run of games has changed everyone's mentality and suddenly we're all looking forward to what can happen in the summer and what can happen next year.
Good. No, good.
It'll be an interesting summer, definitely, 100%.
Definitely. Especially with news, especially when you are chasing Latte Lat all summer, Daz.
Have you got 90 million?
Putting in your £1 million bids, going up in 50,000 increments.
he fits the bill, mate. He fits the bill for us. You know, he's a young lad. Obviously, you know, we've got a young side. You know, he scores goals. You know, he fits the bill for us. It's just a price tag.
He's a granddad in your squad, man.
Hang on, you've got a big enough battle keeping hold of Jack Clark, haven't you?
Oh, mate, Jack Clark, Patterson, Ballard, yeah, mate, you name it, mate. To be fair for you, I think possibly go through the exit door come the summer, like, because so it's going to be interesting, really interesting. I mean, we're being linked with a lad from Seville. Is it Musa Drama or something? Centre-forward. So Latte Laugh might be out the window now, Iggy.
But he's too expensive now, Daz. He's gone into a different
exactly, mate.
Level.
We found someone cheaper. No, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. Like I say, you know, we'll join the roller coaster again, don't we, at Sunderland? You know, ups and downs. You know, Saturday for me, you know, the same old, dominated the game. Listen, I don't think we were brilliant, but we dominated the game, created chances, couldn't put it in the back of the net. A lot of the shots from distance, didn't really test the keeper much. And then our good old friend Watmore comes on and gets involved in the well, it was a possible own goal, but you know, he was in on the end of it, and he would have done well to miss the target from where he was. So you know, I would say if it hadn't possibly hit Ballard and gone in, then you know, potentially it would have been a goal for Watmore.
Daz, I've seen the stats.
You called it, didn't you?
He did. Yeah, he called it on Friday. Yeah. But I seen the stats of that game. Sunderland had 65% possession. They had something like 13 shots on the goal, two on target.
Yeah.
And Millwall had two shots, none on target, and win the game 1-0. Is that just the way it's gone for you at the minute?
To be fair, mate, the shots on target weren't great, mate. Yeah, they weren't great. They were from distance. The keeper was comfortable. You know, we didn't really test the keeper in a sense, you know. And then, you know, I think the manager, I think it was a slip of words really more than anything. But, you know, he's gone on that, you know, number nine isn't important. But I think what he meant was his number nine is not as important as some of the other things going on. You know, and everybody jumped on the bandwagon, didn't they? Said, oh, what do you mean a number nine is not important? But obviously, he's a number nine is important. Well, yeah, a number nine is important. But I think he just slipped his words really in his interview. But yeah, you know, it's interesting, mate, because you know we've gone, you know, virtually a season with no out and out striker. You know, we've had no nine. We've tried so many different players up there, and it just hasn't, you know, it hasn't worked. It hasn't come off. But like you say, you know, we dominate games. You know, we create things, but like I say, on Saturday we created things, but they were all from distance. That, you know, the keeper was comfortable. You know, and. You know, Millwall got the two opportunities and obviously one of them, you know, they got a possible own goal. But like I say, I would have been surprised if Watmore would have missed the target from that distance and that area of the pitch.
Daz, do you think the end of the season might put a few off of some of the players?
I think potentially it could do, mate. Yeah, I think potentially it could do, because at this moment in time, you know, there's a few going through the motions. Like you say, you know, we do dominate games with possession, but you know, you can just see it. It's kind of the end of the season, you know, attitude and mentality, and you know, it, at times it's a little jog, and you know, rather than, you know, early in the season when you were getting in people's faces and you know, playing a high tempo. I mean, the goal came from playing out from the back. You know, and it's a very similar thing that they do on a regular occasions, where, you know, where they play out and they get it, you know, get it up into the wide area, it gets bounced back in the midfield, and the ball went in, and it was a misplaced pass. It was slightly off. You know, the Millwall have broke down the right hand side, got a cross in. You know, Watmore's got the front of Ballard. You know, and then obviously, like I say, it's had that slight deflection off Ballard and gone in. But you know, I would have been surprised if Watmore would have missed. But yeah, it's just, I think it'll put a few off, mate, in the sense of the way they are and the way they're finishing the season off. But still, you know, there's still talk about Patterson going. You know, there's still talk about Bellingham. There's still talk about Jack Clark. You know, and Ballard. So there is interest there, but whether that interest continues, mate, the way that it's going, I'm not 100% sure whether it will. And for me, I think these lads need, you know, possibly need another season in the Championship.
Mm. Yeah.
Got a couple of messages that have come in. Sorry, go on. Yeah. Keep going.
No, go on, Dave. Go on, Dave.
I was just going to say it's a tough ask for them, for these lads to step up in the Premier League. You know, we touched on earlier on in the season. You know, we've played Newcastle. You know, we've seen what the gap was. You know, what the distance was between the Championship and the Premiership. And for me, I don't think at this moment in time, you know, those lads could step up.
Okay, one of the questions for you, Daz, is Andy from Huntley Spring. He's asking, because the lads are so young, could that put off potential suitors, you know, other clubs coming in to get them?
I think it could, mate, yeah, you know, because, you know, we're seeing it now, you know, I don't mean it in a bad sense of mentality, but the way that the games are going at this moment in time, you know, it's kind of like they're down in tools, and it's, you know, it's everything's a bit, you know, a bit too much of an effort now. You know, we can't go anywhere, we can't get in the playoffs, we can't get relegated, you know, the season's fizzling out. And for me, this is a time where, you need to step up and shine, you know, because I think when things aren't going well, and you're not particularly getting the great results, you know, the results are up and down, there's inconsistencies, you know, it's important for you as an individual, not only as a team, you know, to keep that, you know, to keep your standards high, you know, and play to your best. But you just see so many times that, you know, that they look tired, they look jaded, they look like young lads, you know, they look like the season's got to them. And, you know, it's been a tough season, it has got to them.
I think that'll be mentally as well, Daz.
Yeah, 100%.
Mentally as well as physically, pal. Definitely.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. You can see it, mate. You know, you can see it in them. You know, you watch them on the pitch. And like you say, it's physically, mate, they should still be okay. Not too bad. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, listen, yeah, it's been a long season. It's a tiring season. But mentally, it looks more mentally than it does physically, mate. And it's evident, you know, we see it on a weekly basis, you know, they're starting to switch off at times and make mistakes. And, you know, so I think mentally, they just drained. You know, it's been a tough season. There's been a lot of ups and downs. There's been a lot of decisions made at the club that have been, you know, highlighted. And I think it's, you know, it's time for the season to kind of settle down, and then basically, you know, we build for next season.
I'll tell you what will be hard, Daz. You know, the players you mentioned who other teams may be interested in, who aren't quite ready for the Premier League. If they do go to Premier League teams, does that mean that they'll be straight in the 21s and they'll give up playing on a Saturday in front of proper crowds with proper football, and it's a good standard, the Championship, and they're going to give up all them starting games to go and play 21s again, unless they get loaned out.
Exactly.
Higgy, that's a brilliant point, mate, and that's where if they've got agents, advisors, managers, and their family members, that's why they've got to be strong and say no. Their first team players, that at Championship level, now. You know, they've had some good times this season. They've had something different. That's what happens when you're young. There's no way it'd be the worst football decision if any of them, even they go to, you know, one of the big boys in the Premier League, you know, with City and Arsenal, Liverpool, Spurs, Chelsea, whoever you want to call, Man U, Villa, whoever's in that list for you. If they go there and go play 21 football, it's like, it's about 50 to 100 steps back, mate.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. They've got it. Like Daz has said, if they're not ready, or you might get the clubs who do the scenario, who do it, sign them, loan them back to Sunderland for another year. Do you know what I mean? Could be. That's one way of getting around it. The player still, because I'm sure that these clubs as well don't want to sign a lad who's got 50 to 100 Championship games under his belt, sign him and then stick him back at under 21 level. Because it's just totally defeating the object. But it has happened before. There's some young players, you know, just seeing the bright lights and all, want to be involved in a big club, and they haven't looked at the bigger picture, and they've ended up, it's been to the detriment of their career, you know. So,
well, it's money a brilliant talks, point. Clarky, doesn't it? And if someone's on $5,000 or $6,000 in a Championship, and suddenly, you know, a Premier League team comes in and offers them 15, and their club are saying, well, look, we can't go with that. We might be able to go to 8 or 9. And you're thinking, $6,000 a week. You know, you might have a three-year contract or sign a five-year contract. It's a lot of money, isn't it? Listen, but like you say, are people willing to sacrifice all those games and their development, because their development will go through the roof if they stay and play? Whereas if they it might stagnate and they might not be able to do that again. So after the 5 years, the career's done.
Yeah, they're all good players. They're all good players. You know, and we're not doubting that. But another year in the championships will be massive for them, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's like us, Clark. You know, when we had the playoff final. You know, obviously we had a lot of young lads in the squad at that point. And that extra season in the championship done us wonders. Absolutely wonders. You know, we went on and done extremely well the next season.
Without a doubt. In hindsight, it probably mightn't have been the right time for it to go up. You know, we had a good mixture of experienced player and young players. But for you young lads, and Jody at the time, maybe it's another year at that level. And then when we eventually went up, you could handle the Premier League much better. Definitely.
Exactly, 100%.
You never take for hey, we've just talked about it. I think the championships across Europe's classed as the sixth best league or something. Mm. You know, when you take across the board, the English Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, whatever. I think the championship comes in about fifth or sixth. That's how highly it's rated and regarded.
Fourth best supported. So, you know, get signed by a big boy and get dropped in the 21s. You're not going to be playing under that pressure anymore.
No.
Exactly, mate. Exactly.
And that's the thing that develops,
Exactly.
It means something.
Of course it does, mate.
Do you know what I mean? It means something to everyone. It's not just we haven't won that game, we didn't play very well, never mind, we'll have a go next week. If you don't win, it's
consequences, definitely.
Yeah, it's people's livelihood. Yeah. So you grow up very quickly and you learn what it's all about and you do that better. Yeah. And that goes across the board, by the way. So if you're in a 21s at a championship club or League One club, then go to a non-league club and play first team games and see what it means to those players down there. And that gives you a perspective on exactly what it is. And it also gives you a taste of what you don't want to do. You know, you don't want to be going and playing in this standard. I want to be playing in that standard.
Of football.
You're playing first team games, and there's nothing like playing men's football first team games. And that's not me being sexist.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, young girls can do the same. Yep, they can go. Yeah, they can go on loan as well. But there's nothing like going and playing first team football to see exactly what it's all about. And the younger you can do that, the better.
The better. Totally, 100%.
It used to drive me mad as the manager of Hartlepool. I'd go to these places, Newcastle's and Middlesbrough's, and want these players, and these players would never come. Yeah. They always wanted to be the ones below them.
Exactly.
Do you know, and that was no good to me because I knew the players below them weren't quite ready for the men's football bit.
Yeah.
I wanted the ones who were ready for the men's football bit, but were playing 21s every week.
21s. Yeah.
But the bigger boys wanted to give me the ones who weren't ready for the 21s and send them out when they weren't quite ready for me. They were no good to me.
Aye.
So it's always that little, you know, it's a balance of you know, you want to take players. Sometimes players, all right, they're playing in the first team squad or they're training with the first team, then players you're not going to get. But the ones who are on the brink, but not going to be involved in the first team, they're the ones you want.
Well, like you touch on there, Higgy, it's got the agents important at the stage, you know, with these players. Do you know what I mean? Because if they don't step in and say, look, you know, you're potentially going to be in the 21s, you know, let's have another year in the championship and then let's see where we go from there. Because, you know, like you say, that, you know, being in there and playing men's football is a damn sight better than going to 21.
And you know what? Sometimes agents have got a bit of being the bonnet. They don't want a lad going from Newcastle to Hartlepool on loan because of the drop.
Aye.
They think, that drop's too big and people will start looking at him as a League Two or non-league player. It's not for that. We're not saying he's this standard. Funny. We're saying we're going to get him out. And we're going to bring him up to speed quicker than what he would if he was stuck in the 21s. And I don't care what you say, but playing League One, League Two, National League is better than playing in the under 21s.
Well, Higgy, I was just going to say that further down the line, because we know the small numbers that do make it at these big clubs from academy, the percentages are so small. And if you're just a player who sat in the under 21s, played numerous amount of games at that level, you end up getting released after, say, 3, 4, 5 years as a pro at these big clubs.
Aye.
Like, when I was working in League One and you were at Hartlepool, we go and an agent comes and say, oh, do you want to take him? And you look and you go, well, he hasn't got a game to his belt. Yeah. He hasn't got one full-time game to his belt at any level. You know, because the budgets, even at these smaller clubs now, are so, so tight. You kind of take risks. Every signing, even at lower level, has to be spot on. You go, well, I kind of take that risk. You go to the agent, I kind of take that risk. How can I give you, say, 100 grand a year of my budget, for example, hypothetically, that's a number. How can I give you 100 grand a year of my budget on his wages? If he's never played a game, I'm going to be the one experimenting with him. I'm going to be the test case for him.
I can't afford to wait a year until he's ready.
Because
my budget's just not there for that. You know, not like these big clubs where you can have players and see if they're going to develop, and you can keep them for 3 or 4 or 5 years and see if they are going to make a player. Some develop later than others, and I get that. But when you're at the cutting edge of it in a League Two, National League, your budget, you can't waste one penny of that budget on someone who might be all right but who's never played a game, but you might have to wait for him. You can't afford it.
No.
You may as well use your own.
Definitely not. Because the problem is, it's like football across the board now. Even managers going down to the lower levels, League One, League Two, National League, they don't get time.
No.
They've got to make instant impacts at these clubs because the shelf life of the manager now is getting shorter. You know, so they cannot be taking risks, either one on the budget and two on a lad who might take 6 months to a year to get used to men's football.
Yeah.
Fellas, we've got to move on. We've got to move on because time's running out. We've got to speak to Ian Murta as well. And we've got a couple of comments from listeners. We'll do all of that next.
Clark, legend. Williams, legend. Hignett, legend. It's the three legends. WhatsApp us, call or send a voice message. We don't bite. 033-00-43-2002.
Right across the northeast, by the fans, for the fans, the tune, the red and the cat.
And we're joined by Ian Murta as well, because he's up at 7 o'clock with black, white, red all over. Quick comment comes in from Stu Gawley, who's a Borough fan in Canada, especially for Daz. Daz, latte, laughter, Sunderland, you're dreaming, man. And a quick one from Phil Jackson. Does anybody think Carrick will be poached by a Prem team? Let's hold that for a moment. Ian, what's on the show tonight?
All right, Ian.
I'm all right. Lads, it's getting to that exciting time this year. We're all counting down to the day when the gaffer's going to take us out for a slap of meal for all the hard work this year.
We count a long time, Ian.
The one that he promises all at Christmas.
You wouldn't believe that pig I've just seen flying past my window. And I'm on the third floor.
Listen, like the Legends, my show, it's all about looking forward to the weekend. But, you know, we're coming to that part of the season when it's time to look back in many respects. And for Sunderland and Middlesbrough, well, let's face it, let's be brutally honest, they've got two of the most irrelevant fixtures on the calendar. Sunderland at fellow mid-table Watford, Middlesbrough, Cardiff. Newcastle can relegate Sheffield United. Well, I suppose we should be thankful for small mercies that there's no relegations in the North East this year. But, Newcastle should be a straightforward win. It's not the most exciting weekend. I think it's only the second weekend this season when all three of our teams go into it, having lost their last game. But, listen, let's talk about the positives. And non-league football has more or less finished. There's the playoffs. We'd love to have had more sides in the playoffs this year, but I've got one of my special guests tonight. My second guest is Mark Carruthers. He's the doyen of North East non-league football writers. He will be talking about the Gateshead controversy, what's happened at Blyth Spartans, Steve Watson's magnificent job at Darlington, and of course, a little bit of playoff heartache for Spennymoor and South Shields. While my first guest, I think he's the first journalist to have been on three times. It's Dominic Shaw of the Northern Echo. We'll be looking at Sunderland and Middlesbrough, what's in store for them in the transfer market this year. And, of course, Newcastle, will they or will they not qualify for Europe? Well, they will if they play like they did in the last home game against Spurs. They might not if they play like they did at Selhurst Park on Monday night. It was Wednesday night.
Yeah, Wednesday.
If with a guy who's getting his third appearance, does he get a hat-trick ball, Ian?
he's still waiting.
You're still trying to get me to spend money. That's what you're doing, aren't you? You're still trying to get me to spend money. Ian, we'll be with you after. Yes, I know. After the news at 7, Ian Mercer, black, white, red all over. Fellas, not long left, about 6 minutes left. We haven't touched on the weekend much, have we?
No. No, we haven't.
No.
Well,
can
like
I just
Ian
jump
said,
in, mate? And
ridiculous.
Just,
go on, Dad.
Just say, can I just jump in and just say, can we just take a moment, obviously, to spend our respects to Charlie Hurley, who passed away, obviously, yesterday.
The king. The king. Rightly absolutely. So, yeah. Such a great, such a iconic, player. The icon. When he player of the century, was it? Was he classed as highly thought of, and then named the old training ground after him and stuff like that?
Sad time,
but an iconic player of the North East football. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Massive.
Dave, you had a question, didn't you, about Carrick or something in Premier League being poached?
Yeah, it was Phil Jackson just saying, does anybody think Carrick will be poached by a Prem team?
I don't think so at this moment in time. I think they'll be still looking for him to at least get Borough into the playoffs or have a good start to the season, have them in the playoffs during the course of the next season for someone to think, right, he's done his time, we can go for him. I'm sure there's people, you know, analysing him already and looking how his team plays and how he sets up and, you know, his record and stuff like that. The analytics side of if the management recruitment is huge now as well. So definitely, I don't think it'll happen in the summer. But Higgy, you'll know best, I would have thought.
No, well, I agree with you, Clarky. I've said all along, I think he needs to do a little bit more before the Premier League start coming and sniffing. You know, West Ham were mentioned, weren't they, obviously with his connections there, but they look like they've gone a different level again, haven't they? So Amorim was mentioned. He was a fellow who was mentioned with Liverpool at first before Arnie Slot. And so they're obviously gone into a different level again. I don't think anything will happen this summer. I think at the moment he's happy with everything that's going on. Obviously there's a big summer ahead, players needed, he knows what's needed to take the team on again, and I think he'll get back this season. I think you know, Steve Gibson's a fabulous chairman and he can see how close Borough have been this season. He knows that they're still a little bit short, and I'm sure he'll do everything he can to make sure that they get the right players in, and he's never been shy of spending money for the right player. So like I say, I'm excited because of the end of the season and because of what's happened, see what's happened in the summer, but I think he'll be backed and I don't think he'll go anywhere.
I think the same, definitely.
Weekend games, fellas.
Pointless, they're all going to get first. Beat.
Oh, come on, Higgy. If we lose to Sheffield United.
Well, listen, I'm going a little bit of reverse psychology here, Clarky, because last week we were hopeless. Daz had the right scorer, though, but went wrong way, didn't he?
Yeah, we did go the wrong way, mate, yeah.
I'll go. Sheffield United, Newcastle, Sheffield United. I think we will start really well and we'll win by 3-0. We'll get this European challenge back on track.
I'm going to go 4-1 to Newcastle.
4-1. You think they're going to score?
I think Sheffield United might score, yeah.
I'm going to go 3-1 because I think Sheffield United will get a goal, yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. The next one, Sunderland Watford down there. Oh, God. How uninspiring is this game?
That's got 0-0 written all over it, that one.
But you know what, Sunderland have had some real good performances away from home, haven't they, and some decent results. Yep. So I'm gonna say they'll continue with the good defensive work and they'll get a 1-0 win.
Love it, Clark.
I'm going 0-0.
0-0. Love it. I'm gonna go. I think it'll be a tight game, to be honest. I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be 1-1.
Good,
I think,
man.
It'll be a tight game.
And I think Borough will have too much for Cardiff. What I've seen, I haven't seen a lot of Cardiff, I've got to say, a few times on TV, being a little bit up and down. I think Borough will have too much. I think they will win 2-1 tomorrow, Borough.
Yeah, we had Andy Campbell doing his show on the Red last night, and he was saying it's been an awful season for Cardiff. He said they've just not put the, you know, where they've got the points from. He's amazed in terms of the performances.
Well, I sort of, my initial one was 2-1 as well, Clarkie to Borough. No, I'm going to stick with it. 2-1. 2-1 to Borough. I think they'll go 2-0 up, Cardiff will score, and then it'll be Navy as. But they'll see it out.
Haven't seen Sunderland down there against Cardiff, and Cardiff were poor. I'm going to go 2-0 to Middlesbrough.
Ooh.
Ooh. Nearly a full house then again.
Yeah, nearly.
Yeah,
Couple of draws.
Yeah, but not quite.
Couple of draws. So we're safe.
Give it a tip.
Yeah. Give it a full house, so we all lose. Yeah.
Well, we're safe that we haven't got them right, Dave.
So what's that then? 3-0 Cardiff, 1-0 Sheffield United. Yeah. Watford get 6. Yeah, okay. Fellas, we're done.
Six will be all right. Yeah. Brilliant. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Good luck, everyone.
Have a great one, fellas. Enjoy your football. Cheers. Bye. Ian Murter is up next.
Guys.
Banter at its best across the northeast. It's the three legends.
The Tune, the Red, and the Cat.